So to kind of lecture the press on how it should be presenting information on science stories, I think is a little bit unfair. If they have a public that is motivated to seek out information that supports their pre-existing cultural or political predispositions, then I think you're just going to see a market filled with media actors who are satisfying that demand. The impetus for making things better, I think, it has to be pointed at some other actor than the press.
Which actors would that have to be?
I mean, really, from top to bottom, we should be reforming our political culture into one that is receptive to evidence-based science communication. There's things the government should do to when it's introducing a new technology like the HPV vaccine to make sure that it doesn't become polarized. There are things universities should do to advance our knowledge of how the public comes to know what it knows and also to create professionals who have that knowledge. Professional associations like the American Medical Association, they have a responsibility to make sure that their membership recognizes that that's a form of expertise that's needed before people talk about risk perceptions. And we need to have education at all levels for people to become basically more open-minded about these kinds of things.
I'm speaking with Dan Kahan from Yale University. He teaches a course on the science of science communication and has researched the public risk perception of climate change. During your lecture, you were talking about cultural barriers affecting science literacy. And could you give us a few examples of what those cultural barriers were that you talked about and how they influence people's thinking?
There's a kind of perverse result that people who study perceptions of risk in science communication are now very familiar with, where people who score highest on standardized measures of critical reasoning, of numeracy, which is quantitative information processing, tend to be even more polarized on these controversial issues than people of modest and low science comprehension. That's kind of the signature of a certain sort of pathology. That doesn't happen on every kind of science issue. The opposite usually happens. People who know more or who reason better are more likely to get the answer. But where you have these kinds of issues that have essentially transformed into symbols of membership in different kinds of competing groups, people are then put in the position of having to choose to use their reason to know what science knows or to be the kind of person that they want to be. And if you put them in that position, they usually choose the latter. And the more proficient somebody is in critical reasoning or making sense of quantitative data, the more likely they are to form the positions that match what's in their group. I wouldn't say that more science comprehension is bad. I would say that we're losing the benefit that we usually get from science comprehension because we're putting people in this position in a polluted science communication environment where they feel that to be good members of their group, they have to have certain kinds of beliefs.